Recorded.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a new recording, man.
Yeah, brother,
I can dig it.
Stop. Right on.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah.
Time now. The Empowerment Hour, the hottest show on Saturday mornings in Jacksonville on Praise 107.9. And now, here's your host on the Empowerment Hour, Dr. Richard Danforth, president of the Jacksonville Urban League, Jarman Leitner, president of First Thursday, and the producer and host, W. Larry Williams, CEO of Anchor Multicultural Communications Company.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams, your host with Dr. Richard Danforth, your co-host, and Jarman Leitner is not with us today. She's taking a birthday holiday, and we wish her happy birthday and hope that she's enjoying her day. Dr. Danforth, the president of the Jacksonville Urban League, is with us this morning, however, and I guess Doc is back down to me and you.
Yep, old school.
Well, y'all in for a treat today, our listeners. We're going to have some fun. And not that we don't have fun when Jarman is here, but we'll have a little bit more fun today. So welcome to the Empowerment Hour. A lot to talk about. I guess there's another hurricane. Wow, I thought the hurricane season was over. I guess it's not, huh, Doc?
Oh, no. Just when we thought they were gone away, here comes Delta, is it?
Delta, taking off and landing in Louisiana right now. So,
well, that's got to be disheartening.
Oh, yes.
You know, two hurricanes in a row.
Yes.
The folk had just returned home, and now they had to leave again. I can't imagine during COVID-19 the difficulties that these families are experiencing. Whether it's, educationally or financially, it's just got to, our hearts go out to those individuals out there that are suffering.
Absolutely. And talking about the COVID, Doc, I see this city is moving one of the COVID testing sites from the Legend Center to another location. They haven't identified the location yet, so I guess we'll find that out. But they're preparing for the early election sites. So I guess the Legend Center is one of those sites that hosts early elections. So folks, if you're going to get a COVID test at the Legend Center, find another location because they won't be open.
Well, Larry, are they really using all of these locations?
That would be a question better answered by you.
Well, let me mention one thing. I reported to our listeners, I believe a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the flu, and I mentioned that I had never taken a flu shot. And my doctor called me and encouraged me to take one. So I took my first flu shot on yesterday, and I tell you, my arm, and I slept on my arm, and it was quite painful, but it's all.
Really?
Yeah. So maybe to keep me from getting the COVID.
There you go. But you know, Doc, I took my first flu shot last year. Because I thought I was experiencing some COVID symptoms. So I went in and they said, well, you need to take this flu shot. And I'm like, I've never taken a flu shot. They said, but you need to take this flu shot. And I was like, okay, when COVID, they said COVID and flu in the same breath. I said, okay.
Yep.
Give me the needle.
Hey, Larry, let me mention one of our civil rights fighters, you know, for many, many, many years, Reverend Dr. Levy Wilcox, president of the Southern Christian Leadership. You know, we had his funeral, his home going, and having worked with Reverend Wilcox for the last few years, I came to realize just how fortunate this community has been with the life of Reverend Dr. Levy Wilcox. I mean, he made some, you know, when you're a fighter as he was during the 60s and 70s and a fearless fighter. And so I wish his wife the very best going forward. And we should hopefully heed the words of Reverend Wilcox in that our community really needs to come together and work closer together, particularly with all of the struggles that we're experiencing and with the COVID-19. This is an opportunity for our communities to really rally around some common strategic initiatives. So God bless you, Reverend Wilcox.
Yes, I concur with those condolences and so forth. And, you know, each day and week and month and year now, Doc, we're losing more of our civil rights leaders and of the past. And we got to start replacing those people. And, you know, now's the time, you know, for all of those folks who want to be leaders. This is the time to
Step up. Time to step up.
Step up. It's you know, we can't keep, riding this saddle, longer and longer. Doc, you and I have been on this trail many years, over 50 years. And you know, I'm starting to see some young people take the reins and get involved. And that's a good thing. And I know you're working with a couple of young people over there at the Urban League who you're mentoring, and hopefully they'll take the reins and ride high in the saddle like you've done over the years.
Well, we've got some very talented young people working with us through the Jacksonville Urban League Young Professionals. And these folk are very enthusiastic. They're smart. And we're helping direct all of that energy towards some positive things here in our community. How can we get our young people to step up? And I know that they're busy with their lives, trying, you know, the millennials, you know, trying to get in all the debt they can get in and trying to buy everything. And you know what I mean? They're running they're running from job to job, and they're not happy here. They're not happy there. And so, a shout out. We've got to maintain some patience, which I don't have a lot of, but I have to, you know, I have to pinch myself sometimes because
I hear
think
you.
Maybe I'm taking it too serious. And so
I think we are.
You think so, Larry?
I think we are. I think that, you know, what I try to do is try to, you know, take a step back and look at, you know, where I was when I was 19, 20, 23 years old. And, you know, even though I was in a much more mature place than folks nowadays at that age, you know, I still was, you know, had some wildness that I had to grow out of. So
some wildness.
Yeah, I'm trying to be nice with it.
Well,
some of it I didn't.
Yeah, when I think about myself at that age, you know, heck, I was – you know, I was in the mud over in Vietnam. So.
Oh yeah.
And if the Lord had not been on my side, where would I be?
You wouldn't be here talking to me.
Not only did I have close calls in Vietnam, I've had close calls here in America.
Oh yeah. Well, I didn't go to Vietnam, but I had many close calls here in America. Boy, I'm telling you. Whoa.
obviously, if you're a black man, you're going to have some close calls.
Absolutely.
And you can't run away from this skin.
Hey, look, some self-inflicted and some not. But like you said, when you're black in America and especially black growing up in the South in the 50s and 60s, man, that was the time that, look, it was an adventure, and I wouldn't trade it for anything, but I wouldn't want to go back through it again.
Right. I do understand.
Hey, Doc, we're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some other things on the on our menu here, including why the Supreme Court has decided to to continue their hearings by phone through December. that should be very interesting.
Are they going to go forth with the Supreme Court justice nomination? You think
that's not up to the Supreme Court. That's up to Congress and the president, the Senate and the president, and they're trying to work that out now. I think that just like the 4 years ago, the incoming president should be allowed to make that appointment. I don't care who says what. You know, that's my belief. And with that, this is Praise 107.9 FM. The Empowerment Hour with Dr. Richard Danford and Larry Williams. We'll be back after this music selection.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
Hey, I'm closing chapters, I'm turning pages. Glory to glory, and from faith to faith, I'm moving on, I'm moving on, I'm moving on. I'm getting older, so I'll keep it straight. It hurts to let go, but it hurts more to stay. I'm moving on, I'm moving on, hey, I'm moving on. Hey, I know my rear view can't compare to what God will do with my life. And I am forgetting what's behind me. I am finally decided I'll be moving on. I'm moving on. Your failures, woo, and forgive yourself. I'm moving on.
I'm moving on.
Hey,
I'm moving on.
Truck in it.
Gotta go.
I'm moving on.
Told me we
Told me we're moving, I'm in God's way.
Good morning and welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams with Dr. Richard Dampert of the Jacksonville Urban League. And we're riding solo, well, duo today with just Doc and me. Jarman's taking a well-earned and vacation birthday day. So happy birthday to her. And we miss you and we'll be looking forward to you coming back next week, we hope. Because there's a lot of stuff for one person to be doing. But, hey, we're getting it through, aren't we, Richard?
Say it again?
I said we're getting through it, aren't we?
Oh, we sure are.
Hey, Doc, there's the thing going on with the we were talking about the Supreme Court holding their rest of their meetings via phone through the rest of this year. What do you think about that? That's a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
Well, I think it's a thumbs up. I mean, since you have the COVID-19 circulating through the White House, and the folk have come in contact. I mean, we've seen that on television. And so they're smart because some of them are getting up in age. And of course, we just,
yes.
Supreme Court Justice Ginsburg. So, you know, why take some risk?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Matter of fact, they should just, in terms of this candidate for the Supreme Court, maybe they should put that on hold until January. It doesn't seem to make sense. It's just so political.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And speaking of the COVID-19, there are additional five deaths in Jacksonville and neighboring counties. It keeps going up. I mean, you know, Duval County now has 474 deaths as of October 9th and over 31,000 cases. That's a lot of people sick and dying, Doc. And I don't care what anybody says. That's not a good look for our city and state. And I'm reading in the newspapers where President Trump is talking about having a rally in Florida tomorrow. Isn't he still COVID alive? I mean.
Well, you know, you mentioned COVID and the deaths, the number of deaths in Florida and Jacksonville. And, you know, just we don't seem to be really we seem to be somewhat aloof at the death part of it.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? We've had over 210,000 deaths. You know, we had, it's just amazing is that we, you know, that people may not feel the extent of what is really happening in this country. I mean, we're blinded by politics and we're blinded by the Pied Piper. And, you know, it's just, it's really sad.
Yes, it is. It is. And you know what? Mm-hmm. It's getting even worse when you have the president who he went into the hospital for COVID symptoms and stayed there for a couple of days or so. And then he's back out and wanting to hold meetings. He's still, as far as the COVID instructions, he still, has the virus and is a major spreader.
So yeah, but he's not around. I mean, everything's happening right here in Florida. I see where down in Gainesville, they're looking at increasing the number of students and fans to attend the Florida game, the Gators.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
Where is this at?
This is at the University of Florida down in Gainesville. And, of course,
oh, okay.
yeah. So the Gators, the Florida Gators, they don't realize that the COVID-19 is a real Gator.
That's, there you go. Absolutely. And, right. And Doc, you know, the Northeast Florida recorded the most deaths in this past week of any 7-day period of the coronavirus pandemic.
In Jacksonville?
At Northeast Florida in Jacksonville. Yeah, Duval County.
Wow. So this thing has not, it is not under control, right? It is not going away.
No, but you brought up a good point, though, Doc, about the number of deaths and people that, you know, their feelings towards the deaths. And, you know, to me, and I don't know, maybe I'm just reading something in here that's not there, but you let me know what you think. It sounds like it's okay with people as long as there are old folks like us that are dying. You know, because those are the most folks that have been in the what do you call those centers,
senior centers,
and so forth. And older people are the ones that are dying. And I've heard some politicians say that's a good way to thin out the population. You know, the old folks are going to die anyway. That's a morbid thing to say.
You're not going to have anybody to vote if you're locking up all the black folks. and then you don't allow people to vote without paying the poll tax. I mean, you know.
yeah, you call it right, a poll tax. That's what it is.
But I think it's disingenuous. That's one of your terms. I just think it's unfair. I think that it's a nastiness that I'm feeling. As it relates to how we treat people that made mistakes, paid their dues to society, and we continue to punish them. You can't get away from it. Whether you're on probation, whether you got an ankle bracelet, you know, whether you got a report to this person, that person. For those who don't have employment, it is very difficult. And that's one of the things that a number of organizations are working on here in Jacksonville. We're trying to do some things, but I tell you, it's a challenge. It is a major challenge when you have a record, even though we banned the box here in city government. It would be interesting. I would be interested to know how many folk have been employed in city government with a record.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay, do we keep that kind of data? Okay.
Yeah, and you know, I'm from the fact that you know, once a person has done their time, I think they need to have their rights restored totally across the board. You know, a felony shouldn't follow a person around the rest of their life, especially if they've done the things that society said to do to keep their restitution and so forth. And even if, when you talked about the quote unquote poll tax, they had a remedy for that with Bloomberg willing to help some of those people pay their fines or whatever there was. But just the whole that, I mean, there should have been some type of process put in place so that those folks could pay it over time or whatever. You know, you paid your time and all that time while you were incarcerated, you were working for the state, you know, on the chain gang and not getting paid, but what, 50 cents an hour? Heck, you know, it'll take you 50 years to try to repay that restitution.
A long time. A long time to pay.
Doc, I see they're talking about there's a fear of a mass teacher retirements due to COVID-19 and where that has been considered overblown. I think it's a perfect time, you know, for folks that have been in the education system for a long time and many years. And, if you're going to ever get out, this is the impetus to provide you to get on out now and while you're still alive.
While you're still alive. And I see we're going to take a break here shortly, Larry.
Oh, I was just having fun, Doc.
No.
So let's take this break now. This is Praise 107.9 FM. the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams along with Dr. Richard Dampert, Roger in the background, John's on the vacation.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
People are dying, and people are crying for a savior to come and save us from this world. Now, God, I'm calling your name, 'cause my world does need change. In Jesus' name. So God, we need you to pull us through.
Dr. Richard Dampert and Roger in the background. John is on vacation. I'm sorry, y'all. This is what happens when you have when you're recording instead of live. So my phone would probably ring if I was in the studio. So, but anyways, I understand Dr. Dampert that the president of the United States, who has COVID, is expected to trying to plan a visit to Jacksonville tomorrow.
You said that the president has the COVID.
Yes.
I don't know, Larry. I mean, that could be fake news. You know, it could
He's coming to Jacksonville, or that he has the COVID.
No, that he has the COVID. You know what I mean? I thought it was, you know, the way he rode over to the hospital and came out of the hospital to wave at support.
Yes.
I think he's, I don't think he's real serious about it. I mean, but I tell you what, to take all those drugs, if in fact that they're giving him drugs that are untested, possibly means that, you know, that he has it. But again, that remains to be seen, because you can't tell from the White House doctors what is going on. I mean, I thought you were supposed to, it shouldn't be a secret, the health of the president, right? You know, of course, Pence is sitting over there. You know, he's ready to go whenever the president decides to let him have it. You know, I'm sure he will be honored to take charge. But he can't do that now, because he don't want to get fired before the election. So he has to walk a fine line, because no one can outshine the president.
No, not and keep their job.
Not and keep their job.
So there was a, speaking of the vice president, there was a vice presidential debate. Were you able to catch any of that?
Yeah, that was the, I did. I looked at all of it. I did not, I couldn't get through the Trump Biden's interview. That was just messed up. So I just couldn't deal with that. So it was,
I agree with you.
I was really impressed with Kamala Harris's knowledge of the world in general.
Yes.
And, it was tough. It was tough for Pence, because he's having to defend some bad stuff. I mean, he's vice president. We've had over 200,000 deaths. And the economy is not coming back the way that we thought it would. We're seeing more layoffs. We're seeing more people filing for unemployment. And, you know, we were under the impression that things were getting better. And again, is this fake news that we're getting better? See, the problem is we don't know what to believe. We don't know who to believe. But I tell you what, I'm very, I know who I'm going to believe. And it's not, you know.
let's get back to the real deal, though. We need to have the folks to get out and vote. It's early voting is taking place right now, as I believe. And, you know, if you have your ballot, you know, get out. I mean, fill it out all the way and take it down or mail it or whatever you're going to do with it. But get it back into the powers that be. I understand that early voting has generated over 6 million ballots already that have been returned. So that's very interesting. And it also confirms the fact that, people they're into this election, and usually most folks are into the presidential elections more so than any other election. And we got a lot of different things on the ballot dock, including, the half penny sales tax to help the public schools. We have a lot of legislative and local districts and positions and issues that are on the ballot that we need to address and make sure we vote on. And I think you talked about some of the amendments that are on the ballot. And you want to tell us a little bit about those amendments, Doc?
Sure. We've got several amendments. But before I go to the amendments, let me say that I want to go on record. We want to go on record, certainly our show, as supportive of the half cent sale tax. Okay. And I know everybody There are a lot of people now supporting it, and we need to be on record. I'm certainly on record as supporting that. We're going to do whatever we can to help the school system provide a quality education for our children. But let me get to some of the amendments. Amendment one has to do with citizenship for voting. And you don't need to worry about that. Just vote no. I would. The Constitution now says every citizen can register to vote. They want to change it to say that only citizens can vote. So there's no need to go through all the changes with that. The minimum wage hike, amendment number two, I'm in favor of the $15 hourly minimum wage. Then amendment three is the sticker. This is the blanket primaries. This is the one where, they will create a top two elimination process and contests for governor, cabinet offices, and state legislative races. And so both the Democratic and Republican parties oppose the change, simply because, it's going to impact black voters. And that's not a good thing. So I'm going to vote no for that one. The one on veterans survival benefits, that's a no-brainer. I will be voting yes on it. So if you would, we're going to send out these amendments through emails and Facebooks, et cetera, so you can educate yourself on what you're voting for. But don't leave anything blank. Go on and vote for everything on the ballot.
Amen. Amen. And like you said, like Doc said, vote for everything on the ballot.
Everything.
And familiarize yourself with the ballot. There's a voter's a pamphlet that was mailed to you, or you can pick up one at the elections office. You still got time. So let's do the thing right and make sure that not only are we voting, but we're voting intelligently and for the right people and for the right issues. And as Doc said, we've already identified on this show that we are supporting the public schools half penny sales tax. And that's a really a no-brainer there as far as that type of support for me.
Former Congresswoman Corrine Brown has some good news this week. They're hearing her appeal and a lot of folks are saying, why is she going through all that? Why don't you just serve her time? But this is a very significant, it is very significant in that, if she gets a change from these judges, it means that she won't have a record. I mean, and it would be easier for her to regain her rights, wouldn't you say, if this appeal goes through and she's...
Richard, does this mean that she won't have another trial? These judges will decide her fate?
Well, there's a lot of ifs, and that's one of the ifs. Apparently, it's an extremely important ruling because they have very few of these.
I would imagine that they have
yes. few of of course, they have thousands that are submitted, but only a few actually get, to be dealt with. And hers is one because it had to do with the fact that one of the jurors was released during her hearing, because the jury indicated that the Holy Spirit had said that Ms. Brown was innocent. And so apparently the judge heard that and released that juror, brought another juror on, a substitute juror on, and of course that was the deciding vote pretty much for Ms. Brown being found guilty. So
yeah,
this appeal is about religious freedom.
Right.
We all invoke the name of God and the Holy Spirit, especially when we're in trouble. I do it. So I can't imagine a judge telling you that you can't do that. That's not appropriate. So, but we'll see going forward.
Okay. All right, Doc, we're over time here, so we're going to take a break. This is Praise 107.9 FM, the Empowerment Hour. We'll be back with our education contributor, Daryl Willie, and we'll be back shortly.
The ultimate gospel experience, the new Praise 107.9. Back to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams with Dr. Richard Dampert over at the Jacksonville Urban League, and we're riding high in the saddle this morning without Jarman, but guess what? We got our education contributor still here today. Welcome, Daryl Willie from the Duval County Public School Board, and what's going on over at DCPS?
Always a pleasure to be here. Appreciate it, Doc and Larry. We miss Jarman, though. I mean, I didn't know y'all didn't tell me. I know she wasn't going to be on here. I wouldn't showed up, you know?
Hey, we can easily release you.
No, I think it's birthday for her, so I have birthday greetings there. But, yeah, a lot going on at our schools, as always. I mean, first and foremost, just we're in full-on mode at this point when it comes to schools being open. So every single grade level has an opportunity for folks to be in person, brick and mortar inside of our schools in a non-hybrid form. And then you still have Duval homeroom that's going on. But now that split It was about almost like 50-50. Now we have about 70% of students who are choosing to be in school. So since the beginning now, you're seeing a lot of folks who've made that decision to transition back into school. And I think a lot of it has to do with, I mean, we're in Florida. The trend in Florida is things need to be open. And honestly, if you open up the rest of Florida, that means parents have to go back to work and caregivers have to go back to work. So sometimes you don't even have a choice. So you you have to send your kid back to school if you're working.
I hear you're having a lot of teachers that are retiring because they don't want to deal with this COVID-19 in the classroom. I don't know.
Yeah, we're
numbers on that, but are you seeing an increase in those retirements?
I mean, for sure. I mean, we already have the educator population in general is a little more seasoned and older, wiser, as I'll say. We already were seeing trends year over year where more and more folks are retiring or entering into our drop system. So now with this pandemic, with them trying to take care of themselves, and if you have an older teacher or a teacher that's a little bit older in age and they have a parent or that they're taking care of. So we saw a lot of that. And I'll get the percentages for you and have that next time. But we are seeing an uptick in that, which is unfortunate. But we're still able to maintain. We haven't seen a huge gap in vacancies like we see in some years. So because folks are wanting to keep their jobs, too, because if you have folks who are teaching this year, they're not going to go off and go do something else because the pandemic is just not a great place to be when you're looking for a job.
Absolutely. And you know, for the mature teachers, you know, again, we hope that they are around, have been around long enough to, you know, mentor some of the younger teachers in along the way. And just like we were talking earlier about our youth, you know, teachers have to learn. I mean, they have to learn how to teach. And they have to learn how to deal with classroom situations. And no matter how much mentoring and so forth you do, you still have to go through the process of learning how to do it and actually physically doing it.
You couldn't have said it better. Like there's no teacher like actually being in there. And you can go through all the training programs you want.
Yes.
Read all the books you want to. But there's nothing like being in that classroom, because that's the most interesting part about being an educator and teacher is every day something different's coming at you. It's not a thing where you come in and it's going to be A, B, C, D happen this day. It might be out of order. It might be upside down because you have personalities you're dealing with, not only of the students, but you're also working with other teachers, you work with other professionals. It's a job where it takes a skill to be able to maneuver through all that. And I appreciate and thank all of our teachers for the hard work that they've put in and our staff, because this has been an unprecedented year.
I echo that as well. And you're right. This has been a very difficult year for teachers, but for everyone. You know, let's not get it twisted. This has been difficult for everyone, including the school board and you know, entrepreneurs and business owners like myself and Dr. Danforth running the nonprofit over there, the Jacksonville Urban League. Everything is the new normal. And we're having to deal with that, and especially with our clients and so forth. But Daryl, well, how did you said 70% of the kids are back in the classrooms? Have you noticed an enthusiasm from the children being back with their friends and things? Or is it still pretty much sterile as far as COVID is concerned?
No, I mean, you definitely, especially those folks who've been there, those students and staff have been there since the beginning. They're getting used to wearing the mask. And distancing and having plexiglass if that's what they have in their classrooms and kind of keeping that space. So at this point, kids are resilient. They can adapt better than even we can as adults. So the kids have been great, and they've been actually interacting in ways that you wouldn't even believe. And I also just want to shout out the creativity of our schools and our teachers, because they've come up with creative ways to keep our students safe and at the same time, keep them engaged. And that's what you have to do as a teacher, too. And we're not seeing a huge, huge spike in cases. There's still time to be had, and I'm prayerful that it won't happen. But, of course, we're seeing cases. I mean, whenever you have folks inside of a school that are going out of the school and interacting with their families and environments, you're going to see cases. And we've hit that over 100 mark since the beginning of the year. Positive cases, but there hasn't been any major outbreaks where we've had to shut down full schools. And that's because of the great work of contact tracing and just hitting it right away. So as soon as that positive case hits, or even somebody has a temperature, they're going to be isolated. So we've had to isolate a lot more than that 100 just out of precaution. But the only positive tests are around that 100 number. So we're actually doing better than many probably predicted that we would in this at this point.
Yeah, definitely better than I predicted. But my prediction is always, well, anyways. But
Larry, can we pivot over to the half cents sales?
Yeah, thing? I was just going to go there, Doc.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Okay. So Daryl, Richard and I both said that we're supporting a half penny sales tax for public schools, and as you know, we've stated that publicly on our show, and John is in compliance with us. Tell us about what else we need to do, folks, aside from voting for the tax. What else do they need to do to encourage people? How's this going to really affect the kids that are in school next year and the years afterwards?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I appreciate y'all's support. Y'all have been supportive since the beginning. And I think a lot of that has to do with we've laid out a very clear plan and really prioritized the districts and the areas that have not been highlighted in years past, not just with our dollars, but also just general dollars in our city. We're focused on North and Northwest side. I mentioned to you all before, almost $450 million just for my district alone, if you look at the plan that we're laid out. And that's not including Board Chairman Jones' district, which is also on that north sort of west side, which is another $400 million. So unprecedented amount of dollars going in that you're going to see almost immediately. As soon as that vote happens, planning goes into place to be able to get those shovels in the ground. So we want to be able to show the community that your money, that half penny that you're putting forth to take pride and care in our schools is going to show up. So we want shovels to be in the ground immediately, but we also want minority-owned businesses to also be involved. And I'm working with you all on that. And folks should see something in the next couple of weeks where we're going to have a forum that we invite folks out and really talk about how folks can get involved, not just with voting, but after that vote happens, you have a business, you have a contract company. We want to see you involved in that because we want to see put the community to work.
Daryl, Richard was talking earlier about the deal over with Shad Khan on Lot J and their agreement to extend, I think it was like 25% to minority participation. They've already stated that publicly. Is that something that the school district is willing to do? Do you know?
Yeah, I mean, I would love for us to be up to that 25%. That's probably one of the highest I've seen in a while. I'm having conversations actually about what that percentage needs to be. It's usually floats around like 10-15%, but I like that 20-25 is a great number. But the thing we have to do to get that number right, we got to make sure we have the people that are ready to go. Because what's going to happen is if those project starts and we're not ready, they're going to go ahead and move with some other subs or other contractors. But I love that 25.
Okay, so we're going to have to continue this conversation next week. Thank you, Daryl, for hopping on. Thank you, Richard, for being on. This is, I think, we're in our fifth or sixth year, man. We've been doing this thing for a while here.
Don't say six. It's not been that long. Come on.
It's been a while, Doc. I think it's been 6 years, brother. It's been 6 years. But anyways, this is Praise 107.9 FM, the Empowerment Hour. We'll be back next Saturday morning, 8 a.m., for your listening pleasure.